Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging in there with us and looking forward to you telling others to tune in. The telephone number, by the way, if you want to call in, ask a question, join in the dialogue and discussion, is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones. We're talking about today, is the church essential? Is the church essential? We're talking about, is it essential for life and living and for society as we know it today? Do you believe the church should remain open, or should the church just simply say yes to the governmental orders and close? And some will say, well, we ought to obey the government. Well, when it collides with what the Word of God says, I have a high question that we need to weigh very seriously on our response. I believe we have a very serious virus. I believe it is something that is international. I believe it is something that is deadly without any reservation, but I believe that we ought not to hide in the closet, especially as churches and Christians, ought not to hide in the closet, wring our hands, and wait for doomsday, as some would view it. We're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, a need to have personal hygiene when we're facing this, as with any other serious virus or epidemic that could take place, and it has taken place in America a number of times down through the centuries. But we're looking at today, ladies and gentlemen, across America, a patchwork of orders and rules and guidelines and regulations and executive orders with what I call power-hungry political leaders wanting to do the one-upmanship on the other to try to show, look what I'm doing. A good example of that's in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you've heard this or not. I don't think it's been on into the drive-by news or the fake media, 24/7, with the hair on fire. This article says 32 police officers. Now listen to that number, 32 police officers. We're talking about in Los Angeles. 32 police officers break up a one-year-old girl's birthday party. Now watch the video footage on that. I've read the articles and several follow-up articles. This is the shortness of it. This is published April the 1st, 2020. At least 32 Los Angeles police officers broke up a gathering of more than 30 people celebrating a girl's first birthday. The officers brandishing batons, beanbags, and guns were responding to a report of a violation of the coronavirus social distancing order. Police had to call up for backup as angry partygoers hurled insults at them. Officers used a loudspeaker to disperse the crowd. The mayor has authorized police to arrest anyone who resists the lockdown orders. Crowd members explained they were simply gathering because of a kid's birthday party. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It was not something where they were hugging and kissing. It was not something where there was a real closeness. It was something that was in a cul-de-sac on a street and a subdivision where all of the neighbors simply wanted to celebrate with the little girl's first birthday, for her birthday party. But no. Gestapo had to come out, 32 police officers with guns and beanbags and batons, and break it up and order them back in their homes. Because after all, the lockdown in Los Angeles is something that is ultra, ultra important, and life and living is not. Now, that's just me. You can disagree if you like. I think this is overburdensome. I think it is an overshow of power and authority that's coming out of the mayor, and the desire to show that I'm here to protect you, even if I have to squash your freedoms and your rights to assemble. But ladies and gentlemen, then we find in Hillsborough County, a Florida pastor was arrested for holding worship services in his church for his members. The sheriff and the state attorney, in their press conference, I watched the press conference. I listened to it again. I watched their strategy and what they were doing. They had on the platform with them two pastors representing two ethnic groups of society in their community, two different pastors that were praising the sheriff and the state attorney for arresting the pastor and basically saying to the pastor, you ought not to have done what you did. You deserved what you got, and we're here to stand with the sheriff that's enforcing that against you. The sheriff seemed to, and the state attorney seemed to gloat over their power and authority to arrest the pastor. Thankfully, the pastor and the church are now represented by Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver and his team of attorneys now defending the constitutional rights of the church and of the pastor. In fact, here's an article talking about that, and it says, Todd Starnes, I don't know if you know the name or not, Todd Starnes, says sheriff should be hauled from his home in handcuffs for arresting the pastor. This is a pretty lengthy article, but I'm going to give you some basic highlights of it. The sheriff who arrested the Florida pastor for holding a church service during the coronavirus pandemic is the lawbreaker, not the pastor, contends the best-selling author and radio host Todd Starnes. The sheriff should have been hauled out of his own home in handcuffs and thrown into jail for reckless disregard of the U.S. Constitution, said Starnes in his interview Tuesday with Matt Staver of the Liberty Council, that is the attorney for Rodney Howard Brown. Quote, the furious Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Chronister ordered the arrest of the pastor Monday on a second-degree misdemeanor charge for after video emerged on social media showing the river at Tampa Bay Church packed on Sunday. Staver argued the country's safer-at-home order has so many exemptions to its prohibition on gathering that it looks like Swiss cheese. Let that soak in for a moment. The stay-at-home order, the safer-at-home order, has so many exemptions. The attorney says it makes the exemptions and the stay-at-home order look like Swiss cheese. He says, and I quote, the only exemption not mentioned are churches. Starnes said it was obvious that authorities were making an example of this pastor. Staver, that is Matt Staver, agreed, arguing his client would have turned himself in to face the charge. But Howard Brown was taken into custody in the county jail by the sheriff's deputies as a public shame, sending a clear message to all other pastors. Rodney Howard Brown, according to Staver, took every measure to ensure the safety of his congregation, adhering to the six-foot separation rule and using hand sanitizers, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on to say, Starnes said, many Americans are concerned about government overreach amid the coronavirus crisis. He sees inconsistencies in how gatherings are treated. Some Home Depot stores, for example, are packed like rock concerts in spite of the separation rules. And by the way, just a footnote, ladies and gentlemen, you don't see any law enforcement there at the Lowe's stores or the Home Depot stores or the Walmart stores where you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people packed in, elbow to elbow. If you don't believe that, try to go to Walmart and go through a checkout lane and see if you're 6 foot apart. You don't have any police officers going there to arrest the cashiers at Walmart or Home Depot or Lowe's or other places like that across America that have packed houses, not adhering to, but yet supposedly Rodney Howard Brown, Pastor Brown, was arrested on that premise that he was not carrying out good hygiene and that he ought not to have that number of people that he's preaching to. And this article continues. They're saying a commercial business can operate, but if you want to talk about Jesus, you have to close down completely, end quote. He said, I think that people should be gravely concerned. The Constitution doesn't just evaporate when there is an emergency, according to Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. That is, ladies and gentlemen, just because we walk in the church doors, it doesn't mean we lose our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and constitutional rights that's afforded to every citizen. Doesn't mean that at all. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the way that some of our so-called political leaders are interpreting how they ought to respond and what they ought to do. The question that's being asked and begs to be answered, is the church essential in society today? What are your thoughts? Should the pastors just shut the church doors, walk away in silence and say, we're going to video stream and everything's okay? I think not. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue. Love to hear from you. I want to hear your opinion. Your church goer, as the Barna Report called it, perhaps you're even a Christian. Want to know from a Christian's perspective, is this right? Is it constitutionally okay? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked with perhaps a dozen or so pastors in the past several days. I know of about 8 or 10 of them. I've not talked with all of them. There's about 1,600 churches and religious places of worship in our city, in the entire metropolitan area. I've talked with several of them personally that I've known for years. None of them that I've talked with have closed thus far with this that is taking place. That's left entirely up to the individual congregation and pastor, in my most humble opinion. But I've got some good news for you that we're going to look at in a moment during the course of this broadcast. Our governor has now said that churches are essential. Our mayor has simply stated that churches are essential. And I want us to look at some of their executive orders and what's listed as essential and what is listed as non-essential and how we ought to respond. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, is the church essential in society today? Here's an article that says, pastors accuse local governments of discrimination in church shutdown battles. As states begin to crack down on churches violating stay-at-home orders, some Christian leaders are worried that the faith groups are at risk of discrimination during this pandemic. Religious liberty advocates argue that the orders requiring social distances and gatherings of no more than 10 people, which are intended to slow the spread of the coronavirus, also violate churches' right to assemble. They're exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. The outcry has been building over the past few weeks, with one Louisiana pastor calling the orders a persecution of faith. Another portion of this says, but until Monday, neither law enforcement nor pastors had taken any legal action. That changed when Florida police arrested Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor of the River Church in Tampa, Florida, Tampa Bay, by continuing to hold services despite a countywide lockdown. Rodney Howard Brown violated the health emergency rules and had organized an unlawful assembly, according to the sheriff of Hillsborough County. Quote, this is the sheriff speaking. His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk, as well as put thousands of residents who may interact with them in danger, according to the sheriff in his press conference. Matt Staver, an attorney for Liberty Counsel, the legal group defending Rodney Howard Brown, countered that the pastor had taken extra precautions in his services, citing the church's effort to keep families 6 foot apart at the services, it requiring the staff to wear gloves, and the purchase of a full purification system at the cost of over $100,000 to keep the church clean. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the specifications on that church-wide purification system, the same purification systems for cleaning the air and getting the microbes out of the air that's used by hospitals across America. He had had that installed for the very purpose of protecting his congregation. Furthermore, Staver said, that's Matt Staver with the Liberty Council, the wording of the order was vague enough that under Florida law, Rodney Howard Brown could reasonably think that he could still hold services, end quote. Further, he says in this article, contrary to the sheriff's allegations that Pastor Brown was reckless, the actions of Hillsborough County and Hernando County Sheriff are discriminatory against religion and church gathering, according to Matt Staver with the Liberty Council. Before his arrest, Rodney Howard Brown was an outspoken critic of the church closures, saying that such actions were absolutely for pansies. In a similar case, Louisiana police arrested another religious leader who refused to comply with the shutdown, Tony Spell, the pastor of the Life Tabernacle Church, etc., etc. Spell, in mid-March, called Edwards' orders politically motivated and said that he had no intention of moving his services online. Quote, we hold our religious liberties and rights very dear, and we're going to assemble no matter what someone says, he said in a sermon. After the service ended, Spell told a large crowd outside the church that he would continue to hold services as long as he could, comparing the building to a hospital. We're needy people. Our souls are lost, he said. We need help. We need God. And the church is the salvation center of the soul, the sanctuary where we can come together and meet. On Monday, three pastors in Texas filed a lawsuit in the Texas Supreme Court, arguing that ordinances established in Harris County requiring the churches to shut down and move services online are, as is required of non-essential businesses, violates the religious liberties of our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is extensive, but it goes on with church after church and what is taking place in state after state where they're trying to get relief by simply having to file suit in federal court to get it fast-tracked to get some relief on that. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is the church is essential, and I'm asking the question for you to respond, is the church, in your opinion, essential to life lived in the United States of America? And I realize that that question is a moot question in North Korea. I realize it's a moot question in Venezuela. I realize it's a moot question in Russia and in China. Realize it's a moot question in places like Cuba, but it ought not to be a moot question in the United States of America. We need to recognize our liberties and our freedoms that God has given us and it's codified in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, Here's an article from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. It says, our client, Rodney Howard Brown, of the River Church of Tampa Bay in Tampa, Florida, was arrested on Monday for having church last Sunday. The county ordered his only county order was only issued last Friday at 10 p.m., and it has many exceptions, except for churches. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was arrested despite the fact that the church enforced a six-foot separation, while Home Depot and other stores are jammed with people not enforcing the six-foot perimeter. But according to Hillsborough County, Florida, and many other states and counties around the nation, churches must close no matter what precautions they take to protect people. This is simply ridiculous on the face of it and a flagrant violation of our First Amendment rights. That's Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel statement. The point is, if your church should stay open or closed, or whether people should attend, certainly people with elevated risk should be very smart about their choices and actions. However, the difference between liberty and tyranny is the difference between asking and ordering. Asking for caution and care, as President Trump has done, is liberty. Violating the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States by ordering churches to close is nothing but sheer tyranny, end quote. As a direct result of your activism and our representation of Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, two state governors have reversed their unconstitutional ban on churches. And it goes on to talk about Texas and Indiana that had bans on churches at being able to worship. The governors immediately lifted those bans, and now churches in Texas and Indiana can meet as they see fit, carrying out due precaution to take care of and watch over their congregations. Fox News, Tucker Carlson began a new campaign to expose this is still in the Matt Staver's article, to expose the blatantly unconstitutional orders being handed down by the elected and appointed officials. And venerable columnist Todd Starnes has also broadcast that Liberty Counsel is advising and representing pastors facing adverse legal consequences to hold church meetings and to contact them if there are difficulties. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the definitive statement of purpose for Liberty Counsel. Let me read it to you. It's on their webpage. Pastors and Christian ministry leaders have a high calling to preach the truth from the Word of God. Speaking the truth is essential all the time, but it is especially important to do so when we elect leaders who will make laws and policies that affect our faith, our family, and our freedom. There is an ongoing struggle for the soul of America. Many look to pastors and Christian ministers and Christian leaders for guidance on important moral and social issues in life, end quote. And they go on then to talk about their purpose, which defend churches and pastors for that. Ladies and gentlemen, the churches of all times in all segments of society, at no other time as now, needs to be available. Do you realize suicide has gone up exponentially? The suicide hotlines are blazing hot every day with those wanting to commit suicide as a result of what they're faced with, and they have no answer except for the answer that's given in the Word of God. And you cannot help people, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, on video streaming when it comes to a counseling session and the need for comfort and care and concern from pastors and preachers and churches to reach out to them. Here's an article that says, Pennsylvania man who lost his job amid the coronavirus pandemic shoots his girlfriend before killing himself. A Pennsylvania man who recently lost his job amid the global virus and the pandemic shot his girlfriend Monday before turning the gun on himself, according to the reports. He was 38 years old. He shot his longtime girlfriend four times Monday, striking her once in the back. He then shot and killed himself. His death was seen and ruled as a suicide because of his panic over losing his job because of the virus. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and let us consider one another, provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Christian, if you love the Lord, if you're studying the Word, we see the day rapidly approaching when the church is going to be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. We need to be absolutely careful and cautious, but we also need to be concerned enough to stand for Jesus Christ and for the body of Christ and for the Word of God to be able to go forth with free flow without any inhibiting of that whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation is now in the grips of fear and panic and hysteria. There's a real need for the Word of God. There's a need for the comfort and encouragement and the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ and His righteousness, as is found in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We need to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, that we do not simply say the church is inconsequential. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the number of deaths, and I believe it's something in the neighborhood now on a nationwide basis in America, our global basis, that is. I believe it's something around approaching 30,000. Let me just read you some statistics, ladies and gentlemen, so it will put this whole thing of the pandemic and what we're doing in America, we'll put it in perspective. I believe we need to look at it and focus in on, hone in on, if you will, what's really taking place. Let's look at some of the facts and figures. And these facts and figures are brand new, fresh as of today. The coronavirus deaths, 21,000. Seasonal flu, 113,000. We're talking about now across the board of those things that are taking place on a global basis. The death that's taking place, and this number is going up every hour, so it could be changed on the coronavirus. But with the coronavirus, there's today 21,000. Seasonal flu, 113,000. Malaria, global, 228,000. Suicide, 249,000. Traffic fatalities, 314,000. HIV and AIDS, 391,000. We're talking about deaths on a global basis as I speak. Alcohol-related deaths, 581,000. Smoking-related deaths, 1,162,000. Cancer deaths, 1,909,000. Deaths attributed to starvation around the globe, 2,382,000. Deaths by way of abortion, 9,900,000. We're talking about in 2020, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this year. And yet we're talking about shutting down churches in America and contravening and banning our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our freedom of association, and totally eviscerating our constitutional liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, I am shocked by the fact that so many think that it's okay to just shut the church down. In fact, abortion is not shut down. It's in high speed and high gear. In fact, here's an article that James Dobson says, beyond sickening, Dr. James Dobson uncorks on the absurd abortion decision amid coronavirus. One of the elements of the American industry that is refusing to shut down or even slack back, scale back as the to help the nation get through the virus pandemic is the Coalition of Abortion Businesses. He says, in fact, they've gone to court multiple times already to demand that they be allowed to continue to profit. He pointed out that several governors had issued executive orders halting elective medical procedures such as abortion during the crisis, but they've been taken to court and it's been reversed. Rightly so, they recognize the need to fully allocate resources and medical professionals to the services to save lives, not the business of killing the most vulnerable. But then came Planned Parenthood lawsuits, which already persuaded judges to grant orders allowing abortions to continue in the state of Texas, Ohio, Alabama, etc. Dr. Dobson says that is outrageous. Ladies and gentlemen, our governor in the state of Florida, the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, issued a statewide stay-at-home order in order to curb the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, on page 4 of his order, according to the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Executive Orders, page 4, church services are considered essential and okay. I think we need to, everybody get on the telephone or the email or some fashion to contact the governor's office and say thank you for coming around and recognizing that church services, religious services, the freedom of religion is essential in the state of Florida. It's essential. This article says the order will go into effect at midnight Thursday and last for the next 30 days at least. At least 34 states, including California, New York, and Illinois, which are all home to some of the most densely populated major U.S. cities, have issued stay-at-home orders. Florida is the third most populated state in the country with about 21.6 million residents. But ladies and gentlemen, on page 4 of his order, elongated order, with multitudes of exceptions and exemptions from the order, he says that church services are okay. It is acceptable. It is because churches are essential in the state of Florida. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to applaud him for doing that. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an elongated printout of the order. from Jacksonville mayor that issued a safe at home order, executive order. And I'm just going to go down this briefly, but not extensively, because it is too lengthy. Some of the things that can stay open: essential businesses, healthcare providers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, grocery store, farmers markets, et cetera, food cultivation, business that provides food and shelter, newspapers, television, radio, and other medias, gas stations, banks and related financial institutions. All of these things can stay open, private colleges and trade schools, et cetera. Goes down, there's a five-page list of things that can remain open that are considered essential. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that in the mayor's order, executive order, there's not one word, as in Governor DeSantis's order on page 4, that says churches are essential. The mayor does not state that. The mayor does not state that churches are essential. Now, I understand through some contacts that I've made through our representative and going to the mayor's office that he understands the church's position, the pastor's positions, and that as I understand it from my connection in that realm and the question, that churches can remain open if it is 50 or less, or if they keep the separation that is proper, the 6-foot separation that is called, and provide sanitation and hygiene for the attendees. And I'm thankful for that. I am very, very, very proud, ladies and gentlemen, to say that we can answer the question, can folks in Jacksonville, Florida, can people in the state of Florida go to church? Here's an article that I'll close with. It says, can I go to church? And the answer to your question about essential services: Governor DeSantis tells Floridians to stay at home for 30 days except for essential services. And he goes through all of that and says, can I go to church? Although many churches in Jacksonville area switched over to streaming services, religious services conducted in churches, synagogues, and homes of worship are considered essential activities, according to the spokesman for Mayor Curry's office and for the governor's office. Now, that's not stated in the mayor's written orders, but he states from one that had made the contact that, according to the spokesman for Mayor Curry's office, congregations can be there with 50 or less, and people must stay 6 foot apart. So, ladies and gentlemen, will we have church services Sunday? Absolutely. We will be open for business, ministering to people, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning at 10:45. So I want to encourage you to give prayerful consideration about your health consideration, your health needs, and whether you feel safe in going out. If you don't, stay at home. But if you want to come and hear the word of God, go to your local church and pray and invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart if you've not done so. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.